This is Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Now, the opening drive.
Thoroughly enjoyable conversation with Marco Gonzalez. That's going to be coming your way at 5 o'clock. Very fun show today. He's got a lot of personality.
Yeah, I really enjoyed talking to Marco. And
he heard you say you hate your kids, though. That was awkward for everyone.
Yeah, I've been waiting to do that. We're out here at Eggers Cantina. The Blue Jays are in town, and Justice Sheffield pitching tonight. But we talked to Marco Gonzalez at 2:30, and I thought it'd be fun for my kids if I FaceTimed them with a Mariner player and just kind of surprised them, but they didn't pick up. And so, yeah, I was disappointed
that
my kids didn't pick up.
Should I make this video public?
Yeah, I think so.
If you want. I think most of the time when they see that dad is FaceTiming them, they probably look at each other and go, oh, no, dad's FaceTiming us. We don't have time for that. We've got time for Fortnite.
What are they doing that's
Fortnite,
so busy?
Fortnite, NBA 2K19, whatever, and then, you know, watching probably the Little League World Series and, yeah. That kind of stuff. But, yeah, I thought it'd be cool. You know, like,
so they
all of a sudden, Marco Gonzalez shows up on the phone, and they didn't pick up.
They didn't pick up. And that was at the point where you declared that you hated them, and then Marco wondered if they were actually your kids, and it got awkward for everyone.
Yeah, we're going to have that. I'm going to tweet out that video right now, that nice little transaction.
I didn't feel awkward at all, though.
No?
No, you didn't.
Not a bit. It is Danny, Dave, and Moore. This hour is brought to you by Parsons Extreme Golf. The Seahawks have their third and most important of all their meaningless games. This is the most important of the four meaningless games they will play. I used to always think that. The most significant of the insignificant games.
Well, this is the one.
Yes, it is.
The third one, we've always in the past seen the starters in the first half, and then I think they usually go in at halftime. They want them to get used to coming out in the third quarter. But, boy, with the Rams changing things up last year and going to the Super Bowl, it didn't seem to matter that they held out their starters through most of the four games. And so I think we're probably talking to Clayton again about it at 4 o'clock. But yeah, it's definitely different in the NFL now. That third game isn't quite as significant as it used to be.
I you're still going to see Pete Carroll. He may have changed some of his playing protocol. Russell Wilson not playing in the first game and Chris Carson, a number of other guys. I think you're going to see most of the regulars get a lot of work. Now, there are some injury updates. I'll start with the good news or the bad news, Jim. Which do you want first?
The bad news.
Bad news is David Moore is hurt. Wide receiver for the Seattle Seahawks. He suffered a shoulder injury in practice yesterday, it sounds like. It's fairly serious. Serious enough that when Pete was asked whether he was worried about Moore being available for the opener for week one, he indicated that I don't think he's going to be ready at that time. So they're already conceding that. And that, to me, sounds like they're wondering if this is serious enough that he's going to need surgery. We'll see where it is. But this is not something he's going to be back from in a week or two.
I think Brady Henderson from ESPN.com, and we used to work with Brady there at the radio station, I think he's reporting that he didn't think that surgery was going to be needed. But still, just out of the blue, David Moore to find this out today. And you know that Moore is probably the fourth receiver on this team. And so it shakes up that receiver position even more than it was already.
So they're doing tests. Pete Carroll said they'll give us an update when they know more. Brady Henderson of ESPN.com reporting that it doesn't appear that he needs surgery, but his availability is certainly in doubt for week one. The good news, Ziggy Ansah is expected to practice next week, which would put him firmly on target to be available in week one. And right now, the issue with him is not the shoulder. He's recovering from off-season shoulder surgery. It's his groin's sore. So it's never good to have a sore muscle. But the fact that it's not the injury that has been bothering, it's not the shoulder that he's coming back from that is slowing him down right now. But you've got Ziggy Ansah with the possibility of playing. Also, George Fant, who has been out with a sprained ankle, is expected to be back and available for week one. LJ Collier, the first-round pick, he's going to be running next week. He'll start changing direction. He was out there working a little bit before practice today. So the Seahawks,
that's encouraging.
The Seahawks getting closer and getting guys back. Now, they've stayed, I would argue that they've been relatively healthy over the course of the preseason in that you haven't seen significant injuries, significant long-term injuries to starters, but they've had bumps and bruises. Collier, Marquise Blair is dealing with a bruise on his back.
Most of the rookies have had something to deal with along the way.
Certainly their first three picks have. None of their first three picks in the draft have been practicing this week. Now, the flip side of that is that none of them have suffered what would be season-ending injuries. And, in fact, there's an expectation that we could see a number of those guys back. It's possible that they'll be back in September if they're not available when the season starts. Got some guys out there that are going to be playing for jobs. And with David Moore out for this game, I would think that the player that I would spotlight with the most to gain here is Gary Jennings.
Well, yeah, I mean, Gary Jennings, you know, you don't like to see a teammate go down like David Moore, but if I'm Jennings and if I'm being honest with myself, I'm kind of looking at the numbers going, all right, well, that improves my chances with David Moore looking like he might not be available for that opener against Cincinnati. And so Jennings, yeah, you're right, Danny, he needs to get going, a fourth-round pick out of West Virginia. And I was looking at his numbers today from West Virginia. He's got 2,000 receiving yards
yes.
the last 2 years and 14 touchdowns, I think 13 of them last year. And so you looked at him when they drafted him and you saw all the tape and you thought, man, this guy might be the best receiver. He might be better than Metcalf, who they drafted late in the second round, and probably better than Ursua, who they got in the seventh. And yet Jazz Ferguson, Ursua, others have looked a lot better than him. And Jennings has had one good practice, as far as I can tell. And everybody's raving about him that he had that one good practice. But now he needs to show it in one of these games.
Rashad Penny, also a guy with a lot to gain. And I think for him, it's not a question of he's playing for regular season opportunities right now. He's got to give the coaches a reason to put him on the field.
You think so?
Yeah, I think he's not playing for a job or anything like that. But the idea of he's got to convince the coaches. Now is the opportunity for him to show coaches that how many opportunities he's going to be worth. I don't really care if Chris Carson plays week three, week four in the preseason. I don't need to see anything from him. But with Rashad Penny, I still think that you're in the let's look and see. Let's wait and see. I'm still optimistic about him, but certainly nothing that you've seen in the exhibition game so far that would make you think like, hey, this is a guy that is sort of a 1B to our 1A in Chris Carson. It looks like you have a backup running back right now.
Yeah, I look at Rashad Penny and what he's done this year and what he's done since he actually got with the Seahawks. And we talked about it yesterday, where he's had some glimpses of greatness, really. And so you can see why John Schneider liked him enough to pick him in the first round. But for the most part, we've seen glimpses of not so greatness, if you can say it like that. And so I'm not on Penny's bandwagon at all. I still look at him and I'm going, well, okay, let's keep waiting. Let's see something from him. 12 carries for 13 yards thus far. Is it more about the line in front of him? Is it more about Rashad Penny? I wonder. You know, I sit there and I think, well, okay, if you gave Penny Carson's carries and Carson had Penny's carries, what would he have done with those 12 carries that Penny only got 13 yards? I think Carson would have done more with him. And I think J.D. McKissick would have done more with him, and Travis Homer, too. I liked what Homer looked like in the second half there, the last game. So I'm with you on Penny needing to show something, but I think it's pretty much a given that no matter what he does these next two games, that he's still going to be that 1B back.
Oh, I definitely think he'll be the 1B. Does he get 5 to 7 carries in a game? Or is he really a change of pace where he's going to carry 3 times in a game? Like, I think that's he's got to show that he's worth opportunities. And I don't think it's that he's going to displace Carson as the starter or he's going to get equal carries. But I think he's got to show, especially because it's not a slam dunk that he's a third down back. In fact, I think it'll probably be either McKissick or if Homer continues to progress, if Homer's able to do something.
You still believe in Penny, though, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do. His combination of size and speed, I think, is special.
Because I read something the other day about some of the competition that he was doing all his damage against at San Diego State, not necessarily the highest caliber competition, although I think he did have a good game against Stanford, probably a couple of them. But, yeah, we'll see about Penny. But, you know, really, my eyes are more on the guys behind him, though, C.J. Procise, J.D. McKissick, and Travis Homer. Travis Homer, Dave raves about him, and Dave is with the team en route to San Diego, and he's going to be doing the TV broadcast with Kurt Menefee tomorrow night.
You know, and with his move over to the TV side, that leaves an opening on the radio broadcast for Joel McHale.
And Joel McHale's going to join us at 3:30.
In fact, he is. We're going to talk to him about the big shoes that he's going to have to fill for David Wyman.
One other television note for your programming this weekend, as we just learned, our own Bogan, Ryan Roland-Smith, is on the television call tonight with Dave Sims for your Mariners. So.
Oh, I thought he was going to do the Seahawks game.
Oh, sorry. No, I was just promoting our friends
that
we love so much. Dave on the TV side, the hyphen on the TV side, lots of fun watching, and that's tonight. So catch the hyphen tonight on the Mariners radio broadcast, or Mariners television broadcast on Root Sports.
And we're going to have Marco Gonzalez. He's going to join us at 5 o'clock. Who do you think has the most to lose? Who's the guy that's fighting for his job right now? Because I would look firmly at some of those linebackers and defensive ends. You got a lot of guys in there. Ziggy Ansah, the fact that he's going to be back and ready to go in week one, I would think that that's going to turn up the pressure. If Ziggy Ansah is active, I don't know if you have Barkevious Mingo and Cassius Marsh and Jacob Martin all on this roster. In fact,
well,
I would say it's two
talking,
of those three.
If you're talking those three, the two of the three that are probably going to stay then are, it's not going to be Mingo. It's going to be, I mean, Martin, I think, has got a huge upside there. Dave's always raving about Jacob Martin and what he did toward the end of the season last year, and you project what he might be this year over 16 games. And Cassius Marsh, 5.5 sacks with the 49ers last year, I think he's shown a little more than Mingo has. Mingo's a good special teamer. Enjoyed talking to him this week, but, yeah, I would think that Barkevious Mingo, he's guaranteed $3.4 million if he stays on the roster this year. So I think his days might be numbered now with this news of Ansah returning to practice.
We got two Seahawks tickets to next week's preseason game. We got them to give away. Do you have any ideas on how we should give them out to people? Do you want to like open it up? You can't have them openly bribe you.
Fight to the death.
Yeah, we can't have any of those sort of duels. Maybe we should open up if the listeners have got any ideas of what kind of fair contest they would like to see.
Yeah, a contest would be good though.
Yeah, we'll try and come up with one of those to give away those two tickets that we've got coming up. There's a lot on the line for some of these defensive
players. How about an impression? Somebody do an impression, like a John Gruden?
Those always turn into, they're difficult because it's a qualitative judgment.
Okay.
And then you always feel bad because somebody calls and they get on the line, and they're just on the line because they want the tickets, not because they have a particularly good impression.
Okay. Right.
And then it gets awkward for everyone.
Okay.
Awkward for everyone involved. Lano Hill is going to have an opportunity. He's a guy that I would consider on the outside looking in right now. I think that all of the different guys that you've seen in that defensive backfield and that secondary, there's going to be that might be between defensive end and then safety. I think those are the two most stringent competition for roster spots on this team. It would have been wide receiver. That's changed a little bit with the injuries. With the fact that you've got DK Metcalf and David Moore right now, neither one of them playing, you don't know. You know Metcalf's going to be back. You don't know if Moore is going to be back. That will change some of the calculus that's done on the roster spot. At safety, though, you've got six guys that are candidates for what is probably four spots, maybe four and a half, because you've got to throw Ugo Amadi into the conversation there, though he's been playing mostly nickelback. You've got your starters in Bradley McDougal. Tedrick Thompson has been starting. Marquise Blair. Shalom Lawani. Then you throw
Lawani's not going to make it, is he?
I don't think so. Yeah. Then you throw in Deshaun Shedd, who's had a really good preseason. Then you throw in Delano Hill, who's a former third-round pick in his third year. That's a lot of competition. Right now, I would say that Delano Hill, I think, is on the outside looking in. And some of that's because he was limited so much in practice. He's got to do something to make this team.
Yeah, it's too bad, too, if you're Delano Hill, because I remember last year, toward the end of the year, Pete Carroll singled him out for his play and was really impressed with how he was coming on. And how frustrating. I mean, C.J. Procise is used to having different injuries and not playing, and so probably gotten accustomed to that. But for a guy like Lano Hill, you can't really even fight for your spot. And even though he did well toward the end of the year last year, he hasn't been able to do it this year because of the off-season surgery that he had. And so, and then how do you do it, Danny? How do you get up to speed, off and running in the third game of the preseason when you haven't even been out there playing, and then you know that you're probably on the bubble and you need to show something? Deshaun Shedd has been really good out there, and if it's between you and Deshaun Shedd, Shedd's got a pretty sizable lead on you right now.
How would you evaluate wide receivers? Would you want to see Russell Wilson throw to him, or do you want to see Geno Smith? Because Paxton Lynch is out this week. It was a question that Brock and Salk was having this morning. I thought it was an interesting kind of that approach. I don't really care what Russell does in the preseason. But that idea of watching how he throws to guys, I think that might be important. And I think that probably I would lean toward wanting to make sure that I see some of those receivers that are fighting for spots. I'd want to see how Gary Jennings catches passes from Russell. Like what kind of communication, what kind of rapport that those guys have. I think if I would say one of the things that I really want to see in the first half of Saturday night's game is I want to see Gary Jennings out there, and I want to see if he and Russell Wilson have a connection.
Well, I can see the point of that, but how do you think Carolina fans are feeling right now about Cam Newton and injuring his foot in a meaningless game? I can see your point, and yeah, I would like to see what Gary Jennings could do with Russell Wilson, because then that would show you what you could maybe look for in the regular season. But if Pete Carroll's answering questions at the end of the game after Russell gets hurt, and he's saying, you know, we wanted to see what he looked like with Jennings and some of these younger guys, it probably probably wouldn't go over very well.
What if you were? I hesitate to even do this. If you were the coach and that happened, if you're the coach, and not if you were Pete Carroll and it was your quarterback, if just coach in general, and your quarterback got hurt in a preseason game, what would you do in the press conference? I think I'd just really, like, honestly go up there and, like, there's not much I can say. I think everybody knows we're pretty much sunk. We're going to do the best we can. This was the least desirable outcome possible, and I feel like I just got punched in the stomach. Thank you. Good night.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, you don't want to run scared and be gun shy, but when you see Cam Newton, you see other players, the Chargers having a key player that was hurt, and
Derwin James.
Yeah, and you just don't. You don't even want to see. I don't even want to see Russell tomorrow night. Really, I mean, what more do we need to see from him? I bet you he would say, "Hey, look, I need to get out there and get into my rhythm a little bit. I need to work with some of these younger receivers. All of those things." And yet if he gets blindsided by somebody and he misses the Cincinnati game and maybe three or four more, you'd be going, well, what was the point of that?
Could we put Russell, like, you know, the sumo suits that they have, the inflatable sumo
like a,
suits?
Like a Michelin man
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, like get him out there and bounce it around there. Like maybe leave his throwing arm free. But say, like, if you see any contact, we want you tucking that inside. It might be kind of fun. Like if it gets a big hit, it would be just like launch him and he'd be like, hoo-hoo-hoo. He goes tumbling down the field.
I just go ahead and get Russell out there for the first quarter and then get Geno Smith in there. And you got to figure out who the backup quarterback is going to be. And we know that Paxton Lynch isn't going to play after getting the concussion last week. So let's see what Geno has. You think Geno has a lead there? I think he does. I think it's a slight lead. But based on the experience, it certainly wasn't based on his performance in the first game against Denver. But I would think that I want to see more from Geno Smith, because I know I'm in a small camp. I know that you and Dave, I don't think, are in this camp, but we always talk about Russell Wilson and how he's, what, he hasn't missed any games, one game in his career? What's
not missed any games.
No games.
Yes. You okay. Go start knocking on wood right now.
I'll knock on this counter, whatever the heck it's
How about
made
your
of.
Noggin?
Well, he's 30 now. At some point, he's
No,
gonna,
Jim!
At some point, it's going to happen.
No.
So I want a quality backup quarterback, and honestly, Danny, I don't think either one of these guys fits that bill. As far as quality.
Who's a quality backup quarterback in this league?
Well, I don't know.
Are there any?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, Minshew in Jacksonville.
I kind of agree with that. I still go with my theory. If I ran a team, I would get a straight option quarterback. Like, I would really, like, someone on the lines of Tim Tebow, and I'd be just like, we're going to run a high school offense. That's just what we're going to do. Like, we're trying
Simplify
to go 500.
It. Yeah.
We're going to try to go 500, and we think doing something totally different, rather than getting sort of the light beer version of our own quarterback, we're going to go out with something totally off-brand and completely different. We're going to go with Shasta. Do you remember Shasta, the knockoff soda?
Oh, Shasta, yeah.
Instead of Dr. Pepper, they had Skipper.
Shasta was good.
Wasn't fooling anybody.
They had the mountain on the can.
Yeah, they did have the mountain on the can. I don't know if I would say it was good. It was a quarter. I remember there was a Shasta machine that was a quarter. The rest of the soda was 50 cents. Where there in Klamath Falls, Oregon, Shasta was a quarter. You get what you pay for with that. That's what you get when you use a backup quarterback. You're getting the Shasta version of your actual starter.
No, I know, but I just, with Lynch and with Geno Smith, I keep hoping that maybe there'll be another quarterback that gets cut along the way and they can bring him in last minute there when they're doing the 53-man cutdown.
You know the one soda I really liked? It wasn't off-brand. RC Cola. RC Cola,
Cola was good.
That was
RC
quality Cola, backup soda.
That was delicious.
Yeah.
Now, RC Cola was kind of its own taste. Yeah. RC Cola was the premier backup soda. Like, it wasn't quite name brand top shelf, but it was quality.
Yeah. Can I tell you what bothers me about sodas when you go out? I get tired of the only diet options being Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi when you go to places.
You want a little Diet Mountain Dew, don't you?
Well, Diet Strawberry is awesome. Or Diet Cream Soda.
That's exotic.
That's an exotic.
I mean,
strawberry soda is awesome.
It is good. But
Orange Cream Soda is great, too.
Both are weird,
but
though.
Give me a diet version. You can't go to McDonald's.
Okay, Diet Sprite or Diet Dr. Pepper are reasonable requests. But Diet Cream Soda and strawberry soda, that's a specialty.
Like the
product.
Jones Soda people, I miss those brands that
the
they had.
That were liquid Jolly Ranchers.
Are they still around, the Jones
God,
Soda?
I hope not. Give everybody diabetes.
They were purchased by someone.
Yeah.
There's a new energy drink out that's pretty good, too. It's called Bang. And I had the cotton candy version yesterday, and
that's actually pretty good.
What are you guys talking
about? Matt Chazanow and I guzzle those things down on the road.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's 62 weird.
62-year-old cotton
man
candy version.
Like drinking and cotton candy
and you know
version
what,
of Bang energy drink.
You know what it tastes like?
What?
Cotton candy.
It's
pretty
good. It's Danny David Moore. It's time for us to take two.
Take two. The Huskies, spoiler alert, have named Jacob Eason as their starting quarterback.
Why do we have so many Jakes?
It's weird, man.
Jake Browning, Jake Locker, Jacob Hayner, Jacob Eason.
Jake Locker.
Love Jake Locker.
Oh, man, everybody loves Jake Locker. I hope he's really happy up in Ferndale.
Me too. Can't wish enough nice things for Jake Locker.
Yeah.
This was not surprising to me. I've thought that the entire discussion about there being a quarterback competition was, I'm going to choose to think that it's entirely manufactured, because that was the only way that the coaches could find to summon a little bit of motivation or a little bit of sort of the fear factor into their quarterback competition. Because if Jacob Eason was really competing with Jacob Hayner, that's a troubling sign for this season. So I'm just going to say that this is all business as usual and to be expected that he's the starter.
Are you excited? Do you think there's a little too much hype with Eason?
No, I'm looking forward to it. Having a strong-armed quarterback? Yeah, I think the team peaked with Browning. Do I expect them to be better than last season? They lost an awful lot of really good defensive players. They lost an awful lot of great defensive players. I think the offense can be better. And if the offense isn't better than it was, if the passing game is not better than it was last year, that'll be a disappointment.
You concerned about Eastern Washington?
No. No, sir. No, I'm not.
Not at all.
They're going to score like 40 points, but yeah, Washington will be just fine.
We knew Justice Sheffield was likely to pitch tonight, but in the wake of his call-up, we find out that Corey Guerin has been claimed by the Yankees.
It's odd that he was claimed so fast for a guy who pitches so slow.
Can we call him slow now that he's not on the team?
He's no longer deliberate.
He's deliberate.
No, he's not deliberate anymore. He's slow.
What? I mean, it's funny to me because the Yankees have the best record in the league, don't they? Or one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you look
he must
at,
not be that
you
bad,
look at
Jim.
Him and you go, what could they have seen in Corey Guerin? We've been watching this guy all year, and every time I see Corey Guerin, I'm going, well, you know, he's not that good, but maybe he'll be good for the Yankees.
Yeah, but you loved him because he was an innings eater for our show. Anytime that he pitched in a game that was on before our show,
no.
And we went on, when
you know
that
what?
Game ended, you were thrilled that Corey Guerin was on the mound.
Because it took, well, you're...
Because he'd eat an hour of our show.
He'd eat an hour of our... Yeah, but when I'd rather be talking and giving insight and analysis here on the show than watching Corey Guerin pitch. I just did not enjoy watching
him. Let me get my Wayback Machine to the sports pitch.
Is that true?
See if I can...
Like, you would rather
you
talk than
that.
Watch him pitch?
Did you like watching Corey Guerin pitch?
Not particularly, but I don't mind talking.
Did you?
You hate talking.
Yeah, you hate talking.
No, I like talking.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I actually don't
It's my job.
I do not take
that,
issue
It is
with
your
pitchers.
Job. I don't know if you would say that you love talking. It's
yeah.
Danny David Moore.
When I go home, I usually don't say much. I say, hi, honey. Hi, River. Hi, kids. Now leave me alone. Go Cougs.
Don't do that next. We've got Joel McHale. He joins us here, Danny David Moore.
This is Danny, Dave, and Moore.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
This hour, Danny, Dave, and Moore brought to you by Parsons Extreme Golf. We're still coming up with an idea of how we're going to give away these two tickets. Have you seen any good suggestions come in through the text line? Somebody wanted us to have Joel McHale say, go Cougs. That's not going to work. He's actually a Husky.
Yeah, well, it would work for me.
No, wouldn't. It would be difficult to try and get him to do it, so that one's out. We will be talking to Joel McHale. He's going to be doing the radio broadcast with Steve Rabel. We'll be talking to him coming up. Seattle is preparing itself for the annual infestation of Canadians. They will be running around lower parts of Seattle this afternoon in Pioneer Square. I heard that T-Mobile Park is accepting Canadian money, which... made me laugh.
Is that a joke? Or?
No. Wait. Yeah, you can be able to use your Canadian money here tonight. I would advise all of our Canadian friends to be a little more polite than they've been in the past, which is weird because usually Canadians are very polite, but sometimes not when they get to this park. We've got Joel McHale, who is with us here on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline. Joel, how are you?
Oh, it's great being on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline, you guys.
Yeah. Have you eaten Zeke's Pizza before?
Have I? Yeah. Yes. I've eaten Zeke's Pizza. I've eaten some of his wings. Yes, I've eaten them all.
Are you nervous?
I'm half Canadian, by the way. So.
Are you really?
I want to say before we say anything, I just want to say that I'm sorry.
Yeah. See, that's what you usually think is that this overrun by politeness, but sometimes when the Blue Jay fans come in here, they take over our stadium, and they sometimes can be a little bit insufferable, Joel, which is the first time Canadians have ever been accused of being rude.
There needs to be a statue. There needs to be marked in the calendar. Like, this is the first time ever a Canadian has been accused of being rude. Incredible.
Yeah, it does not often happen. Are you excited about doing this? You're going to be part of the radio broadcast. I was a little concerned, given we heard about your history of the hazing rituals that you were subjected to when you were a rower at the University of Washington. I was worried that Rabel might have something similar in store for you on the radio broadcast.
Yeah, as they did when I was a UW rower, they would shave everyone's head and their eyebrows, and then they would put all that hair into a pillow. And then there was a display case of hair pillows, which doesn't sound like a creepy serial killer at all.
Hey, Joel, what do you think?
Rabel makes me do that. You know what? If Rabel wants me to do that, I would do it for him because he's the greatest.
Hey, Joel, how'd you get approached for this job tomorrow night?
It was a chop block. They were waiting outside my house, and they threw themselves at my legs. It was illegal. How did it? They obviously were drunk and made a terrible decision. And they asked me. I don't know who. I must have been 12th or 1300th down on the list. But believe me, when they asked me, I was like, absolutely. I shall now go try to memorize 93 names. So I'm up to the G's.
I'm looking forward to it. I bet that you're pretty excited about it. And I know people in Seattle are. I mean, you've got such great roots here in Seattle and going back to attending high school in the area. Is this going to be – did you ever have dreams of doing sports broadcasting or being involved in it in that way at all?
I had dreams to be Batman and other things. But yes, this is part of it. I believe this was – they're in trouble because I'm going to be the worst analyst of all time, but I am so flattered that they asked, and it is, yeah, it's a dream, come true. It's like, when I was a little, I mean, I went to the Kingdom for the way back when for those games. As you can hear, I'm slightly speechless about it, that I get to do it. I had dreams of, I mean, I remember Pete Gross way back when, all that stuff. So the pressure is on, and Seattle will definitely be disappointed.
Joel, have you heard the guy that you'll be replacing tomorrow night?
No. Oh, yeah. Is it Babineau?
No. It's Dave Wyman, and so you won't be the worst analyst of all time.
Oh, it's my not God. Possible. Someone's got it in for Dave Wyman.
Yeah, see, I work with him, and normally when I say stuff like that in front of him, I fear that he'll kick my ass, and he's not here today, so I just like talking behind his back like that.
Oh, well, you should definitely accuse him of crimes he hasn't committed. Just do go right ahead over the air here. I think you should.
Yeah. What do you think your strategy is going to be tomorrow night as a color analyst, or do you have one?
I'm gonna be screaming home run a lot. Goal. I'm gonna. I don't have a strategy other than. I'm next to Steve Rabel, who is now Seattle. Royalty, and he's a legend. So that he'll be there to make me look. I think not completely stupid. So that's my strategy, is not totally embarrassing my family and my ancestors.
Do you remember when Dennis Miller did Monday Night Football? Because I was just thinking about that, that they tried an experiment.
Yeah.
That's obviously very different because he wasn't a fan and with local roots like you have with the Seahawks. I always thought it was an interesting idea that they had to try and change a broadcast in that way by having someone completely outside of the norm of what you're used to as a football commentator.
I think Al Michaels, who was a part of that broadcast and still is, I think he is so funny himself that it was a bit of a hat on a hat, and because time was a huge Dennis Miller fan, but yes, it didn't. There was some. I can see why some fans weren't happy, which I'm sure they'll be with the same thing with me tomorrow. But I remember when John Lennon, and I still got in with Howard Cosell, and he was pretty darn good. I mean, he wasn't a huge analyst, but it was John Lennon. But it was an interesting energy, and I think they should get Macklemore in there next.
You're in front of big crowds all the time. You're an actor. You're a comedian. You've done it all. Is there a chance that you might be more nervous tomorrow night for this than what you normally do?
Oh, I'll be very sedated by the beginning of the game. Definitely. I will be. Knowing that all of Seattle is going to be, knowing that my friends are going to be listening, and if I'm the way that we treat each other, we will be, they will be texting me insults constantly. So that does put the pressure on. But no, I truly am very excited. And, they've given me the list of all the names, and, it is intimidating. And, as I said, as my parents would say to me, lower your expectations. Going to be fine. Yeah. So this is you probably how I'm going to talk on the air. Steve Vrabel is going to have to interrupt me, and then people will have like, wow, he actually made a Seahawks broadcast annoying. So that's probably what will happen.
I like the idea. If you treat the texts that you get, if any of your friends are giving you a hard time, treat them like hecklers and roast them on the air.
Not a bad idea. Or do like that Jimmy Kimmel mean tweet thing. And they'll probably say I'm so bad that I should be a part of the officiating team squad. So, I'll be like, what are those guys with the black and white stripes on? Whose team are they on? What's happening?
All right, I'll throw a football question at you, and let's see how you handle it.
Oh,
so, Doug Baldwin retired. David Moore suffered an injury, a shoulder injury, that's going to keep him out of the game tomorrow night. How do you think the battle for those wide receiver spots is shaping up?
Oh, it is. Woo! It is shaping up. Am I right or am I right? See what I did there?
No, you're right. It's
got a lot of shape to it.
I feel like, though, a lot of sports analysts just kind of go, well, it is the game. This is the National Football League. I hear a lot of guys do that. They're like, this is the National Football League, so they got to step up because this is the time. And, they really got to distinguish themselves. And if number 66 and 61 don't get that, then, boy, they're going to have a rude awakening. See, I said nothing.
That's good. You could also use it anytime you refer to a quarterback. I don't know if it's required, but I think a lot of broadcasters insist on using the quarterback position. Instead of saying just quarterback, you get the quarterback position.
Right.
That's
they
one that
all,
goes along there.
They do these big ramp-ups into the – yes, they go like, when you're a wide receiver in the NFL, and I was like, yeah, okay, yes, we're all here. We've been here listening. We're watching. We know what it is. So – I'll be doing a lot of that. I'll be like, whoa, that, like, whoever has the ball, I'll just go, oh, wow, 51 just got tackled.
Joel, you're a great sport and somebody that we really like listening to. I'm looking forward to the broadcast tomorrow. You'll be able to hear it right here, 710 ESPN Seattle. And we're grateful for you taking the time today. Good luck tomorrow, but you're going to kill it, and I know we're all going to be excited to hear it.
Yes, kill is the right word there. I will kill the broadcast. So I'm very excited. And I'm very excited for when Bobby Wagner drops back and throws 9 home runs. It's going to be great.
Thanks, Joel. We appreciate it.
Thanks, you guys. Go gentle on me on Monday morning or Monday afternoon.
Thanks, Joel.
That is Joel McHale. We'll talk a little bit about the Seahawks game and also the pending invasion of Canadians. That's next on Danny, Dave, and Moore.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
it's Danny, Dave, and Moore, streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
It is Danny, Dave, and Moore. We're here at Edgar's Cantina like we are every Friday home game. It's brought to you by Greg's Japanese Auto. The first four fans that stop by our broadcast today, once the gates open at 4:30 and show our street team that they have downloaded the 710 app, will win a station t-shirt and a $25 gift card for T-Mobile Park. It's a good thing to do, right? Just come over here, get a shirt, $25 to spend here at the park just by showing you got our app on your phone. It's a pretty good deal. So we're out here in left field. Come on out and see us once the gates open. And there's going to be lots of Canadians that are going to be here. It is my least... No, that's not true. I don't want to say it's my least favorite weekend, because I do think it's important to go ahead and be able to speak up and argue against all of the different things that... I don't want to have our stadium overrun by Canadian fans.
Do you think it will be overrun this time?
Yes.
I mean, because the Blue Jays record isn't stellar.
There's a hashtag that I believe was sponsored by Hyundai, or by Honda, calling it the Blue Jays invasion. Hashtag Blue Jays invasion. They think it's funny. I don't find it particularly funny. I think it's a little sad. I think it's... I wish that there were more Mariner fans here to counterbalance it. I think that when fans, and this isn't something specific about Blue Jay fans, when you get a certain critical mass of road fans in an away park, they start behaving in ways that are obnoxious to the people that live there.
Yeah, well, it's kind of up to the Mariners to change that, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So, and we talk about this every time when the Blue Jays come to town, when the Red Sox are here, the Yankees. I mean, this is going to be back-to-back series where we're going to hear a lot of visiting fans rooting for the other team.
Canadian fans are tougher to take than even the Boston fans or the New York fans.
You think?
Yes.
Is it just because there's more of them?
It's more of them, and it's the kind of commentary that they offer because they don't live here. There's sort of the, well, you guys don't come to your park very much here, which I'm like, you come over to someone's house and say that to them? Like, you're enjoying, like, our park here. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe you shouldn't be editorializing. Like, I'm pretty aware of some of the political, whether you want to call it challenges or disagreements that we have in our country. I don't want to hear your opinion about it. What do you have to say? What's, like, you and your universal health care. Like, go ahead and beat it.
What's this show going to be like between 4:30 and 6 today? Because they opened the gates at 4:30. We're at Edgar's Cantina, and there's going to be a lot of Blue Jay fans here in the bar.
But we're going to have a neutral countryman from 4:30 to 5. The hyphen.
Yeah.
He's coming over.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
Is he?
The Aussie's going to come over.
Okay.
Maybe he'll be able to temper things down.
Okay. Well, he's a big guy.
Aussies
he can
fix
help
everything,
us out.
Don't they?
What? So. You worried about me getting pummeled by Canadians?
Yeah, a little worried. I'll try and help you out, though.
You would not help me out.
I would.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you write anything this year?
I did not write anything about the visit
okay,
yet.
It
good. Hasn't happened yet.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't.
All right.
That led to our worst disagreement ever.
Yeah.
But we're still buddies.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're still buddies. No, I this will be... It's going to be a really interesting weekend, though. I mean, we've got Marco, and we're talking to Marco Gonzalez at 5 o'clock. And we know that he said not on our table. He doesn't really like it when the Blue Jay fans are here. He's pitching on Sunday. But we have Justice Sheffield tonight. So that'll be interesting to see if Sheffield can show us what he's been showing everybody there at Arkansas. Double-A, he seems to have found himself. And the guy that we saw in Peoria at spring training, he looked great then. And so maybe we'll see that Justice Sheffield tonight. And then we've got Felix coming back tomorrow.
Who are you more interested in seeing?
Sheffield
or Felix?
Yeah, I'm curious about Felix, though. I really think Felix is going to be good tomorrow night. And I say that just because Felix is being really doubted right now, and it's a big stage. And I confess that I go back to 3 years from ago when Felix was here against the Blue Jays and he said, not in my house. And, so I think he's going to be good. But then what? Then what do you have? The next three or four starts, the Mariners have gone to a six-man rotation, so Felix is probably going to get four or five more starts. After that, I don't really expect too much from Felix, but I think we're going to see vintage Felix tomorrow night.
If he has a vintage performance, would you prefer he go out on top? Because I would.
Just quit right there?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yes.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming.
I would be okay with that, with his season ending in that way.
I just have a feeling that September 29th, I looked at the schedule. They play Oakland here, the last game of the season. I think they're going to roll out the red carpet for Felix, have Kings Court, sell out the stadium, and have one final farewell to Felix pitching the last game of the year.
That'll be very strange because you don't often have it where you know it's the guy's last game, right? When's the last player that you knew, I guess Ichiro, you knew that those two games that he played in Japan were going to be his last games?
Well, I didn't quite know that until after the first game, though, because there was still some... I kind of felt like if Ichiro had gone 6 for 8 in those two games, he still would have continued to play.
I was dead certain that that was all... He was going to get those two games, and that was it. But that's kind of an exception because those were ceremonial games almost. I mean, they were regular season games, but they had an extra roster spot and all of that.
What a weird year. That almost seems like it was 2 years ago.
Yeah. You don't... Griffey, you didn't know. A-Rod, you didn't know. Like, there's no scenario that I imagine in my head where Felix Hernandez is pitching for this team next year. That'd be really strange if he's pitching at the final weekend and you're like, this is his last outing.
Yeah, I think you're right. Even if he has a 1.20 ERA the last 5 starts, I think there's been a disconnect between Service and DePoto and Felix Hernandez and the pitching coaches, probably Stottlemyre last year. And so, I think it's pretty much the end for the King.
It's Danny, Dave, and Moore. We got the Professor, John Clayton. We'll get set for Saturday's preseason game. That's next.